Deuteronomy chapter 7. When Yahweh your God brings you into the land where you go to possess it and casts out many nations before you, the seven nations that are greater and mightier than you, and when Yahweh your God delivers them up before you and you defeat them, then you must utterly destroy them. You must make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Neither shall you arrange marriages with them. Your daughter you shall not give to his son, nor shall you take his daughter for your son. For he will turn away your son from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of Yahweh would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. So the idea is, do not intermarry, do not mix, do not make covenant with the people of this world, because surely they will turn you away to their idols. Well, Solomon, like a lot of people, thought that he could have a little of both. He looked at this and thought, nah, doesn't apply to me. That isn't quite the case with me. I can get away with it. I can get married to people who are not believers. And yet it says that they did surely turn away his heart when he was old. And he went and served other gods and forsook his God. So it's a very sober warning, isn't it? That we cannot think that, yeah, I can handle it. This is typically the thinking of the flesh. We cannot, and we must humble ourselves and accept what God says here. You must deal with them like this. Break down their altars, dash their pillars in pieces, cut down their Asherim poles, and burn their engraved images with fire. This is not what they did. They did worship the gods of the nations around them. They presumably heard these words, but did not obey them. For you are a holy people to Yahweh, that is, you've been separated unto him. Yahweh your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. Well, that is so, that out of all the peoples on the earth, God has chosen us. Now, we are now by faith and baptism into the covenant, we are the new Israel. And God has chosen us to be his very own. His very own. This is my very own. That's who we are to God. Yahweh didn't set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because Yahweh loves you. So God set his love on us. Why? Well, because he did. And this is very humbling, that he has set his love upon me, that he has focused upon us, that he is looking particularly at us as opposed to all the other people on earth. Now, we should respond to that by being focused solely upon him and not upon the things of this world. Know, therefore, that Yahweh your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them who love him, and repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. So, as often in the Bible, you have a choice there of one of two ways, to love God or to hate God. You may say, well, I don't hate God. Well, therefore, the only option is to love him. And if we think, no, I don't really love God, I accept he exists, but I don't love him, well, then effectively, you hate him. It's like Moses will later say, I set before you life and death, and we would all like to have a third way, but there is no third way. It's either complete devotion to him, or in fact, anything less than that, he counts as not being devoted to him. So, the clear message is, of seeing there is no third way, give yourself completely and wholly to God. If you listen to these ordinances and keep and do them, Yahweh your God will keep with you the covenant and the loving kindness which he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil. In other words, they would have great harvests, the increase of your livestock and the young of your flock. They would have very good flocks that would have lots of young. You will be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Yahweh will take away from you all sickness, and none of the evil diseases of Egypt which you know will he put on you, but he will lay them on all those who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom Yahweh your God will deliver up unto you. Your eye shall not pity them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. If you say in your heart, "These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them?" you shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what Yahweh your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. So God is sensitive to what people are likely to think in their heart. Truly, as David says, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows how we think. He's observed human processes of thought and psychology. He knows us so well. In the book of Deuteronomy, it often mentions the heart. And remember that this is Moses at the very end of his life, either in the last month of his life, or certainly it could have been the last day of his life. And he's giving this Deuteronomy, this second law. And this is all a transcript of one long speech that he gives. And so often he talks about the heart, because that is what matters. It means the mind. That's the idea. So don't think in your mind, how can I possibly be separate from this world around me? How can I dispossess them? How can I enter into God's kingdom? Well, remember what God did to Egypt. Let history speak to you that God really did this. The Red Sea really opened, and God really did bring his very weak and sinful people out of Egypt. And remember that that is what he can do to you too. You shall not be scared of them, for Yahweh your God is in the midst of you, a great and awesome God. Yahweh your God will cast out those nations before you by little and little. You may not consume them at once, lest the animals of the field increase on you. But Yahweh your God will deliver them up before you, and will confuse them with a great confusion until they are destroyed. You must burn the engraved images of their gods with fire. Well, it keeps on saying that. You must destroy their idols. And they clearly didn't do this, because soon they were worshipping them. And so we must cut off from ourselves any opportunity to return, to go the way of the flesh, to turn away from God. Just be wise and recognize your own likely weakness. Don't allow these things to even exist in your life. And that means, I think, particularly what that translates out at in practical life, watch and be careful what you look at on screens in all sorts of ways. I don't only refer to pornography, I mean absolutely generally. Movies, entertainment, etc. are full of what are the equivalent of idols in our lives. Don't even give yourself the opportunity. Cut these things off. You must not covet the silver or the gold that is on those idols, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. It's no good thinking, well, I'll take that gold statue. Sure, I won't worship it, but it's gold. It's worth a lot of money. No, just trust that God can easily repay you. Just don't take it. Just don't go there. Just get rid of it and destroy it. You must not bring an abomination into your house and become a devoted thing like it. You shall utterly detest it, utterly abhor it, for it is a devoted thing. So we are to actively hate the flesh. We are to detest that which is wrong. Not joke about it, not laugh about it, not think it's cool, even though we might not do it, but detest it. If you love God, then you will naturally detest all that is against him.